It's a big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working. Long as my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues. I'll keep my nose on the grindstone, work hard every day. I might get a little tired on the weekend. After I draw my pay, I'll go back working. Come Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew. I drank a little beer that evening, sang a little bit of these working man blues.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
I left my home in Norfolk, Virginia, California, home of mine. Straddle that Greyhound and rode him into Raleigh and on across Carolina. Had motor trouble, it turned into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Well, right away up on me, a through train ticket right across Mississippi clean. I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham smoking in the New Orleans. Somebody help me get out of Louisiana, just help me get to Houston town. People there who care a little about me and have all let the poor boy down. Hey. Sure as you're born, they bought me a silk suit and put luggage in my hand. And I woke up high over Albuquerque on a jet to the promised land. Working on a T-bone steak, all the cardi flying over to the Golden State. When the pilot told us in 13 minutes he would set us at the terminal gate. Sweet low chariot, come down easy, taxi to the terminal zone. Cut your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, give me Norfolk, Virginia, tied 104-1009. Tell the folks back home, this is the promised land, call it, and the poor boys on the line. T-bone steak, all the carny flying over to the Golden State. When the pilot told us in 13 minutes he would set us at the terminal gate. A swing low chariot, come down easy, taxi to the terminal zone. Cut your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, you may know Fort Virginia tied 104-1009. Tell the folks back home, this is the promised land calling and the poor boys on.
Thomas Paine Podcast, Paine in the Morning on a Friday. What's happening? Another week in the books, folks. That could be a good thing or that could be a bad thing, depending on your perspective. But, hell, a couple days off or a couple days away from the crush. of the regular Monday through Friday, usually not a bad thing. So we hope you are going to be staying busy this weekend and perhaps get some R&R, etc. We close out the week with a fabulous episode with Marie Albanese, broadcaster extraordinaire. Let's keep this short and sweet because we talk about a lot of things and I want to get to the conversation. Hot Wire coming this weekend. It's going to be another smoker. We're working on it now. Sunday night, Pain.TV, the highest level on Pain.TV. So far, from what I've been able to tell, and from what many other people have been able to tell, we're the only people to offer definitive intelligence that this CoronaCon goes back years and years and years and years. We started that dropping that last week, and we left a mushroom cloud in our wake after we dropped. These are documents that were leaked out to us, let's just say that, from the DHS. The DHS not having a good couple weeks, along with the FBI and everybody else. Well, that's just, karma's a son of a bitch, isn't it? So that's going to be a smoker on Pain.TV. If you haven't stuck your head in there, stick it in, jump in. Want some definitive proof that these guys are criminals? Put all the doubt to rest. And rest assured, you will see the light, plain and simple. That's Sunday night. Saturday night, we're going to take we're gonna take it easy Saturday night. And Friday night, we have to work on Sunday night show. So we get it looks like a day of respite this week, which is, I'll take it. If it's anything like your life or lives, you'll take it too and run whatever you can get a day here or there, etc. We appreciate you folks on the Thomas Paine Podcast and on Paine.TV for helping us keep the lights on. It's as simple as that. Another fantastic episode with Maria. I could sit here and break down everything we talked about, but as you know, these conversations, they've taken on a life of their own and they just go in so many different directions and it turns into one just cornucopia of intelligence and fantastic conversation. So let's do that. Look at this. 2 minutes. I'm timing it. 2 minutes and 50 seconds. This is a new record.
No drinking up here. It's not wasting our time.
3 minutes in. Can you believe it? Fantastic week here on the Thomas Paine Podcast. Many new ears, many new eyes, the Young Bucks tell me. And the Young Bucks tell me a number of different things about Paine.TV. Make sure you plug Paine.TV, etc. You understand what's going on. I just plugged it. They'll be mad at me for not doing better plugs, but we'll get to that. We got all next week, too, God willing. And speaking of that, take care of yourself, and God bless you.
Hello.
Is that better?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
What's happening?
Nothing. Just waiting on you.
Yeah. I've been waiting on me all day, too.
Well, you've been pretty quiet. I haven't heard from you.
One of those days, you know, you're trying to do a lot of things, set things up for the weekend, set things up for next week. And, you know, I mean, I think we're going to have some good stuff coming, obviously. I'm pretty confident about it and looking forward to it. And so that's what we've been doing. We'll probably end up working through the weekend again.
The whole weekend.
Well, no, not the whole weekend. I can't keep up this pace. The pace has been pretty hectic since Christmas, January.
Mm-hmm.
And
listen, you're not a spring chicken anymore. You got to rebound from that cross country trip.
I'm telling you, I was just out in that RV today, and I said, "Jesus, this thing went through a war," you know, because like we came back and we like mothballed it, and we haven't really been in it much. And I have to get it fixed and stuff. And so I was there. I said, "Man, this thing, we really put this."
I don't want to go near it right now.
Through the ringer, we put it through the ringer.
Yeah. Yeah, you might not feel good until around July.
With that, well, I mean, we have to get it fixed. It's you can't get anything fixed fast anymore. It's like months back. You know, they say, well, you know, if you bring it in, we'll take a look at it, and then maybe we can get it in sometime in June. It's like, oh, great. Mm-hmm. So it's not going anywhere for a while, and one way or the other, whether we wanted to or not. You know what I mean? It's just the way things are. It's just. I was just thinking about it. It's in the backyard. I'm like, looking around. It's nice outside. The birds are chirping. I'm like, this is the third world hellhole. You can't get anything done. We got another busted truck. You know, my son cracked up. Can't get that thing done. And it's just like, what are you going to do about it? It's pretty similar to the politics and everything. Tell people, what are you going to do about it? You can't. These things are out of your control. So how much are you supposed to stress about these things? If it's out of your control. You know?
Right. Now my son's going through the same thing with a newer car. You know, a couple times you keep having the same problems and they're not rectified and you can't get the dealership to call you back. And there's lots of issues. You know, you try to tell people, listen, it's not the world. Not that the world prior to Schemedemic was anywhere near perfect, because it was not. It's just now worse, you know, for new hires. It takes them a while to get acclimated to the environment or how things are done. They definitely don't have answers to all the questions. So as the consumer, we're kind of screwed.
More than kind of screwed. I mean, you're really at the mercy. And I talked about it before, just briefly, or just dropped it a couple times in the last week or two. COVID is a new excuse for malfeasance. Well, we can't do this because of COVID. It's like, well, COVID's fucking been over. So what does this have to do with, well, COVID, it's our policy.
It's the variant.
The variant. Yeah. One thing after another. It's like, give me a break. That's what they were saying in New York today. It was going around. Well, the cameras in the subway weren't working because of COVID. Oh, okay. So I guess that means the tax money that you've taken since COVID, you should refund it since nothing's working.
I mean, the cameras are working in other areas.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
All of the cameras aren't out, just in that location.
Just in that location. They keep taking the tax money, right? It's one thing if it's a private business. You don't have to do business with them. But these politicians and these governments, whether it's local, state, federal, whatever, they keep taking your money, school boards, school taxes, and what are you getting for it? Oh, we can't do this. We can't do that. This is closed. This is delayed. This is suspended. This is we've done away with. Okay, so where's my refund? I say that all the time. People are like, what are you talking about? Why would you get a refund? Okay.
They just keep taking. I think I told you one of the last shows we had that our electric company is a co-op, and their yearly meeting that was canceled last year was moved to this April, and they've canceled it for another year, and which makes no sense in Florida, where everything is open. The only place you have to wear a mask is a doctor's office. That's it. Every doctor's office still has, you know, mask signs on them, which is just comical.
Yeah, that's so the doctors can sneak out without being recognized.
But every business, I mean, if you walk into the electric company now to pay a bill, they're not masked in there. So that's the excuse.
That's the excuse for America coming off its wheels. You know what I mean? The whole country is off its wheels, and everybody, well, what are we supposed to do? It's COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think it's embarrassing.
Well, it's embarrassing the more people continue to play along. And The true test is going to be Philadelphia. Let's see how many people that now thought that they were done put the masks back on.
Well, that's just Philadelphia. That's Center City, right, in Philly. So, I mean, you'd have to be a cement head to go down there anyhow.
That's all point. Philadelphia County, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, for everywhere you go, whether you're working in a business or going to a restaurant, anything indoors.
Because the numbers are up in Europe. So Philadelphia said we should do this because mm-hmm. the numbers are up in Europe.
Well, I want to see how many Democratic cities follow suit now.
You know what's going to happen. You know what's coming.
They roll these
things out. Philly's the first domino this time. But like I said, I told you, I said I was, this is before Philadelphia announced this. I said, I got an invite to my buddy swearing in. He's a judge. I said, on the bottom it said, make sure you wear a mask. And I'm like, there's no masks in Philly. Why would it say that? And then like a week and a half later, it's like, oh, you know, he obviously knew about it. These guys are in the club.
mm-hmm.
For people out there who think that these guys don't put thoughts into this, it's not scripted. It certainly is. We've proven that time and time and time again. What do you got going this week? You're working on a lot of stuff. We're working on a lot of stuff. I mean, it's
I continued on from last week and followed on with the DC fake DHS officers. I continued on following that case. I didn't do much on the New York case because it was just too comical from the beginning. when I heard that he called to turn himself in, that was amazing. But I didn't do any deep dives into that one. But I did call into the court number to listen to Taharze and Ali, what was happening with their detention hearing. And what can I tell you about?
You're not supposed to talk about that. Nobody else is talking about it. Nobody cares.
No, nobody cares. It is interesting, though.
I think it's a really big story.
I think it's a massive story.
We worked on some things here on it. I haven't been keeping under wraps, but so I'm curious to see what you found. And the fact that they're trying to poo-poo it so quickly, and like Mr. Secret Service on Fox hasn't opened his mouth. See, I look at all these things. I look at everything. If there was nothing there, Mr. Secret Service will come out and say, this is nothing. The fact that he's not saying anything means that there's something there. And we pretty much have a pretty good idea, are kicking around some things that we think are there. And I think it's a massive story. So, you know, and you're on the same trail. And so, you know, if you want to talk about that, we can talk about that.
Well, over the weekend, I just did a deep dive into both of them and their families and corporations. I continued on what you did with the website, but then I, you know, went and looked at this USSP company, you know, that they were working under, looked at some of the family members. Then when they went back to court on Monday, they carried it over till Tuesday because the judge Harvey was trying to decide, of course, whether to hold them or release them. For a brief moment, I really thought, you know, Harvey was like, because the way they ended court on Friday, he said, you know, like, this is a crazy case. And the prosecutors were pretty firm with saying, Your Honor, you know, these guys are not just playing dress up. So on Friday, I felt pretty confident that come Monday, they could possibly hold them and we could find out more, you know, about what's going on. The government just did not do a good job of throwing as much information at the judge as they could. And the judge, by, you know, Tuesday wasn't asking, Monday rather, wasn't asking all the right questions. He was kind of saying, well, the rents weren't paid, you know, basically, so therefore there's no big deal there. They're only facing one count of impersonating an officer. There were no crimes committed. I mean, the fact that they needed a U-Haul to carry out all of the weapons and equipment. I mean, they had ID making machines. They had so much equipment. now I can see the judges starting to lean more. You're not, and again, it's not a trial, but it is a hearing to hold them. Now, knowing what we know about January 6th and all of the people that they held and are still holding, I thought it was pretty comical because now the defense attorneys are poo-pooing everything, almost indignant, like, how dare you? You are ruining the reputation of these two people. The defense attorney made it sound like this was all over the news, that their lives were ruined, kind of thing. Then the government comes in, they say a few things, but again, not hard hitting. Like, I feel they should have had the leases in their hand. They should have known immediately who signed them. They're trying to say that the apartments have not been paid on, but there's no timeline. So if we're looking at a 2-year timeline, I'm thinking you have the owner of the building is mega wealthy, Tishman Speyer, and you have a major management corporation. Since when in a rental? I mean, this is not a foreclosure. You know, in a foreclosure, in a bad market, you could drag out. But when you don't pay your rent, you could pretty much, especially in a posh building, accelerate the eviction process. These folks were parading around this building like they had no embarrassment that they didn't pay their rent on 5 units. So none of that was brought up. And then I thought, well, gee, if you're a Secret Service agent living in one of these units because it was gifted to you, someone in management should have approached them and said, you know, you're living in a unit that is not paid for. That should have alerted Secret Service to where they would be like, okay, what's going on here? I find it hard to believe that these units were not paid on. And these units were, we found out, you know, in the 11th hour, that they were put in the name of USSP, United States Special Police, the company from Taharzea. So again, what was their back? You know, when you go to lease, there is a big background check, you know, on everything, funds and, you know, all kind of things. So it would have been nice for the prosecution to have had some statements from, you know, management. What else? Oh, the gun, the weapons. The judge is now saying that the Department of Justice has to, for the burden of proof is on the Department of Justice to prove that Taharzea knew that he was not supposed to possess firearms. Now, we're not talking about one firearm, but about multiple. Now the judge is trying to know from his prior convictions that he wasn't allowed to. What? Again, craziness. You know, they're not a flight, according to the judge, they're not a flight risk. Now, how he knows this? The judge doesn't feel they're a danger to the community. And this is why they were released into third-party custody, into family. Now, I had, over the weekend, I had dug up information on father, and father was living in Virginia, and then the father came on the line on court and said that he would quit his job in order to get home to be the third party guardian. And then they found out that he doesn't own the house. It's his other son's house. And they couldn't get in touch with him right away because he was in Saudi Arabia. Now, what he was doing in Saudi Arabia, I guess it is none of our business what he's doing there. But according to what I pulled up on him as of 2017, he's an Economic Development Authority worker with Fairfax County. So, again, I guess it's none of my business, but that is what they said. He was in Saudi Arabia.
You got Saudi Arabia, you got Iran.
You got Iran, Pakistan. You've got it all.
Yeah.
You have it all. We have that, you know, it's a phony entity. But, you know, there's other corporations, you know, that Taharzaya had, AET Holdings, AET Solutions, other businesses out there. So you have to wonder, when did this all evolve into, as a few people said, oh, they're just wannabe cops. Two grown men are playing dress up. Now one of them is saying, oh, well, I didn't know he didn't have the money, or I didn't. Anybody believing this, I can't wrap my head around it.
It's a very complicated case. I mean, you bring out some fantastic points. No one's really looking at this because they've probably been told there's nothing to see here, and it's not sexy, it doesn't sell, blah, blah, blah. And then that's all one degree. And then, you know, people who are in the on the take, so to speak, or shilling for the government, would say, you know what, I've been told to stay away from this, blah, 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 blah. And I think that's where a lot of people are. And I think the judge could even be in that category, you know, and the Justice Department.
Well,
I don't
know.
I think maybe the Justice Department here. This happens a lot.
I think just the face value. Okay, they're still combing through what they carted out of there. The next, there's a preliminary hearing on April 27th. All the rules of the court, I don't know them, but just based on what they carted out of there, should just have been a lot of red flags for the judge. Okay, so maybe the prosecution did not have all their T's crossed and I's dotted, but based on what I read on Thursday and the court documents on Friday, the judge was well aware of what was carted out of there. He's looking at the same stuff that is public that we're looking at. Then I think there was a witness that came in late. I think there's a witness 7. So there was more information. But just based on knowing this and how you can say, well, they're not a threat to the public, or they're not a flight risk, when, in fact, in this country, you have tons of people that were kept from January 6th. And a lot of those people we know were not dangerous. They might have been stupid, you know, to go into the building or follow people into the building. And a lot of people innocently got caught up in it. Just followed the crowd like you were at a concert. That too. But they're being held, and they have been, some of them already had their trials, but they were held up until trial. Now the judge was also saying, well, even if they're convicted on this one charge, they're not going to get much time anyway. Meaning, if I hold them and, you know, with trial, they get convicted, it's not going to be much time anyway. So he started downplaying it, and he agreed to release them to their families.
Well, here's what I think is going on. I think the FBI fucked up. When we see that's pretty much a mainstay, and they moved on these guys and these guys. They didn't charge them enough, in other words, number one. Number two, everybody's trying to make this go away, including the court and everybody else trying to poo-poo this, because what really is going on is a problematic situation, if it ever came out. I think these guys were not wannabes, not anywhere close to wannabes.
Oh.
And I think they were up to very, very bad things. And the FBI probably moved too fast on this and didn't do their homework. Of course, they never talked to Secret Service. See, you have to understand, the FBI doesn't talk to anybody. They're fucking cowboys. The FBI should have been talking to Secret Service. Top guys, or figuring things out. Who are these guys? What kind of work have they done? You want to cross-check things with the State Department, see if the State Department has anything on these maniacs. And
well, they are saying that they had to move fast because one of the Secret Service agents did tip them off. Again, here's another clue for the judge. If they are innocent and really didn't do anything wrong, and they're just parading around as wannabe cops with lots of weapons, why did they need to be tipped off? Because they did get rid of some of the weapons. They did ship them off.